Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into That's Your Opinion with Fred Smoot, Chick Hernandez, and the Amish one, Cy Fenwick. Now, before we get started, and I will not bury the lead this time, Dave Johnson, who calls Wizards games on radio with Glenn Consor, they call that show the Radio Party. He will join us in a little bit to talk about the Wizards, who are on a six-game win streak, had a big win this week over Golden State. We'll get to him a little bit. But as far as Fred, you're vaccinated, right?
I am fully vaccinated and feeling fine.
And so am I. But apparently our man Amish got his second shot. And he looks like an 89-year-old, I don't know, Russian grandmother right now.
Yeah, like he looked like he hunts a wild beaver and bear right now. That's how he looks right now.
I'm hurting.
I'm hurting. You're hurting. So the young guy out of us three, the younger guy out of us three, is the one that's hurting. And it's sad.
I did have a side effect, though.
Did you? What was your side effect?
I woke up and had 7 chest hairs, and I don't have chest hairs.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It was deep. It was disgusting.
So you actually had to count the chest hairs.
You counted 7 exactly.
They were scattered out like Paul Pierce playoff beard. They were just everywhere.
Wow. I did not. I had no side effects that I remember. I was arrested for driving naked, but that's a whole different thing. That was a whole different thing. I don't think that was.
Yeah, I think that was a side effect of Jack Daniels. Yep. Wrong medicine.
A little McCallum. Yeah. So we got the draft, which is not that far away, and we will get to that in a second. By the way, Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So Alex Smith if folks haven't read this article, it's a tremendous article by Greg Bishop of Sports Illustrated. It is in-depth as to what Alex Smith went over, you know, over the last 2 years. And we all agree this comeback story was freaking phenomenal. Ridiculous, right? And as a player, you can have nothing but respect for a guy that came back from what he came back from, right?
I can have nothing but respect, but I don't know. As I read it, I could taste the bitterness, and I could see him being mad, but I could also see it from the Washington team side point of view because, man, you're lucky to be living, let alone talking about playing football again. Like, you got to realize, you know how nerve-wracking it had to be for Coach Rivera to even consider throwing this guy out there. And you did not want to be the coach that this guy went out there and got hurt again. And you know, he had problems later on in life. Like, no. And like, I see both parts.
He already kind of said this, too, when they cut him originally, when they released him. I mean, it was a much briefer version, but he kind of echoed the same sentiment. And so it's kind of weird that he came back in more detail.
Yeah, because he's really salty about it. He's salty. Yeah.
I get exactly what you're saying, Fred, and I am fully on board with what both sides have said. I'll give some actual quotes here so that our listeners can understand what's going on here. And by the way, for those who don't know, Alex Smith retired on Monday and is, you know, going to go off into the sunset. So he gave this long interview, and it wasn't just about his release from the Washington football team. This is about what he went through, the injury itself, talking to just a myriad of people, and then the comeback, and then the decision to retire. But in that article, he says he did not understand the tactics that his coaches used to keep him sidelined. I'm reading from Greg's article here right now. He says, first, they placed him on the physically unable to perform list, even though world-renowned doctors had pronounced him physically able to perform. At camp, players wore GPS trackers, and none traversed 4,000 yards a day on average, like Smith, whose coaches asked him to carry extra weight, push sleds, and hurdle bag drills, tasks he had never done in 15 pro seasons. And then team doctor, Dr. Robin West, said the team was basically asking what he could withstand, and he felt, like Alex Smith's words, that he was being patronized by the team. So that's part of it. And we've also learned since then that Dr. Robin West and the medical team have left the team. So there's something going on there. But I will give you also what Ron Rivera said. excuse me, what Ron Rivera said, which was, quote, "I was scared to death about putting Alex back out there and that it's something I struggle with every day. It's unfortunate that he feels we patronized him because I can tell you that was not our intention. At the end of the day, I commend Alex because he proved everyone wrong and exceeded any reasonable expectations that anyone had set for him. He not only made it back onto the field, but led us to the playoffs. It was a truly remarkable feat." Mm-hmm. To your saltiness comment, that is an athlete who wanted to go on his own terms, is what it feels like to me. He wanted to be the one to call the right. He wanted to be the one to call the shots.
You've raised teenagers. It's the hardest time in raising kids. Right, that's the hardest point. Not because teenagers not a good number, just because their brain is going everywhere. And the more and more you try to protect them from themselves and tell them stuff they cannot do, they are so excited about doing these things. And they forget that you're trying to protect them. Now right. you seem like a Debbie Downer. Well, I'm sorry. Coach and organization was trying to protect him from himself. If I told you 2 years ago Alex Smith would play again, you would have told me never. Right? Yeah. Yep. Not just because physically he wouldn't do it, because nobody was stupid enough to put him out there. So hence, we did. And they was nervous along the whole way. So at one point, you got to realize, this ain't about them trying to stop you from your shine. This is trying them to stop you from being hurt any farther than you did. It's like honorable discharge from the military. You got hurt, and now we can't send you back out there. Yes, you're capable to live a regular life, but you're not really good for this high intensity stuff no more. And not just the physical part. You got to realize it's a mental part goes with that too.
Yeah, there's no question. Look, it's, you know, I can see where he feels that way, especially that whole thing about carrying extra weight and doing all the drills. I mean, and you know, he said that the team wanted a cute story. I can see where he might be in the way. You know, like, they got two bona fide quarterbacks, and like, do we need this guy? As nervous as we are about him.
When we sit out 15 years from now and watch the Alex Smith movie, that's going to be when the montage start playing the Rocky song as he rehabs and they're forcing him to tote these things and do these things. This is the build-up moment. Sure. So for every great movie, it has to be some highs and the lows, and the lows was the injury. Then the next low was, even though I'm working to come back, they don't really want me back because they don't want to put a broken man on the field.
Right.
So there go the mental battle of it. So yes, I understand, but I also understand, like you said, both sides of it.
Yeah. What do you make of the medical team leaving?
You know what? I think that medical team leaving, wasn't that part of the cleaning house of Larry Hess and everybody else, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you're
that was a part of the new start, new everything. From what I know, the janitor got fired. It's new janitors over there. It wasn't nobody safe. Yes.
Oh my God, the janitor did nothing wrong, by the way. Just so you know.
he was a part of a toxic culture.
No, you know who was toxic was that stupid security guard statue in the building. That is the scariest freaking thing.
It is, right? Also, my guy Dan is still taking people out one by one. He's leaving. Listen to me. I told you from the dough chick, he's leaving nobody unchecked. You understand? Now he's filing more charges. I personally love it all. You know what? I love it all because I can tell you, I told you so.
I want to get to something else in the NFL. The owners got together. And we've talked a little bit about the jerseys now. You can wear any number you freaking want, which is, what, are you a fan of that or not?
You know what? I'm actually against it because they didn't do it 20 years ago when I was in the league.
Right.
Because it ain't nothing like me. And then I would have had the same circumstances. Listen to me. All right. Because I wore two in college.
Yes.
The two is for Dion. All right. When I got here, Dion had 21. He ended up giving me 21. So if I would have got here, he would have been weighing two, and he would have gave me number two. So the same thing would have happened.
Tom Brady hates it.
Well, wait, hold on. Time out. You said Deion gave you 21. Did he give you 21, or did you buy 21?
No, he gave me 21 because I was – hey, my first couple of weeks of practice, I was number 23.
Yeah,
I was 23. I never played in 23. And then Dion, as we got to going, Dion and Marty bumping heads. You know how that was. So Dion was like, talked to me a couple of days in a row, like, oh, man, I'm gonna retire. I'm like, what? He like, yeah, I'm retired for about a week. I'm like, what? I'm like, all right. He was like, well, here, man, take this 21, take my locker. He gave me his Jordans. He gave, because we wore the same size shoe, everything, just literally here. And that's how I got 21. So it would have happened the same way with the number two. I would have rolled my college number, which was number two.
Yeah.
All right. Charles Woodson would have won number two. Champ would have won number four. All of us would have went back to our initial numbers because they just look better on the jersey. And the jersey going to automatically sell more.
Yeah. I guess Deion didn't retire for too long, huh?
He retired for a week like he told me and went to Baltimore.
Unbelievable.
Where he put on 37 because Chris McAllister had on 21.
Right. Interesting. The other thing is onside kicks. They are going to now limit the receiving team to 9 players in the setup zone, which is 10 to 25 yards from the kickoff. Normally, all 11 are there.
Yeah.
Now they're going to go just 9 in order to enhance the possibility of receiving teams getting the onside kick. And I'm sorry. I mean, how many more rules are we going to change in order to make this thing more, quote, exciting? Just play freaking football, dude.
They just put a rule on a rule. They just say if you're going to change your number and you already have a existing number in jersey that sells, you have to literally buy all of your old inventory to change your number this year if you don't wait 1 year to do it.
You have to, so you can wait 1 year and pay nothing, or if you want it done, you got to pay the full freight.
Yes, you got to buy your own inventory, your old number.
Your old number. Whatever's already been made, you got to buy it.
Yes.
That is some bullshit. That is unbelievable.
Listen to me. And I think this is their way of letting the apparel company off some jerseys, give them 1 year to off the jerseys that they got before this mammoth change of jerseys come, and now they got to throw all the inventory away.
Wow. That's you know, I'm for some I players. I even
seen it where they send the loser championship shirt, said they send them to Africa, don't they?
Yes, they do. The soccer teams get it. All those teams get it. That's exactly right.
Yeah, listen, I'm like, why would they send it to Africa? Like, they want to wear a shirt with somebody they ain't want, but I understand the shows need to be worn. I thought to myself, why not just give them to the homeless?
I mean, if people start wearing, I mean, you already got enough kids. There's already kids in the country that are wearing Smoot jerseys. Now you got, now they're in Africa.
No, I'm just saying, it's some people here that love them shirts with the wrong information on.
Yeah, why not? So anything changed since we talked last in your mind about this draft and what the Washington football team is going to do at 19? Anything changed at all in the last couple of days?
Well, my narratives have changed. I looked at this draft and I said, you know what? Coming off COVID, one of the most unadulterated years of all time, we've come into a draft that's that special. Think about this. This draft has God's gift to quarterbacks in it with Trevor Lawrence. It has the first person to get drafted that's going to be from another planet, all right? We have an alien in this draft in Kyle Pitts. He's a Martian, all right? He's not from here, all right? Not only do we have the first alien in this draft.
Why can't he be from Uranus instead of Mars? Huh?
He could be from Uranus. He might be from Saturn. He needs to be from one of the bigger planets because this dude is different, all right? And you have the return of the second sons. Right? And this is the sons of all NFL players. We have like 7 of them in this draft. So this draft is not only one of the deepest drafts. I think its headliners are crazy. Its middle talent is going to end up being special. And it's a deep, deep draft. Like I said, I already got 2 sure Hall of Famers in this draft.
Really? Kyle Pitts,
Trevor Lawrence, and Kyle Pitts, two Hall of Famers, guaranteed. So if you got 2 guaranteed off the rip, that means you probably uniquely have 5 or 6 inside the entire draft.
So, folks, if you're listening to our podcast 30 years from now, when Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Pitts go to the Hall of Fame, you can credit Smootstradamus with that. I'm also now thinking about how you're thinking. That's scary to me. I'm already ahead of your game. I'm naming you Smooshadamus again, even though you were, oh my God, what's wrong with me?
No, because Smooshadamus always come around doing the draft. That's my draft name. That's who I become. I predict these drafts all the time. The last six picks of the Washington football team, when they had the old name, mm-hmm. I called them out one by one, weeks ahead of time.
Dan
don't give me no information. And now I'm finna tell people now, if you go on Bet Online right now, you can make some of these bets. Washington at 19 will take one, Jameen Davis, middle linebacker, Kentucky, 6'3", 250 pounds, can run with the wind, Jameen Davis. Yes, Smooshadamus told you first.
Mark it down. Mark it down right here. I like that a lot. Has there ever been what's the most, if you can rack your brain, the most surprising thing in the last, I'll say, decade when it came to the draft where you just went, what the hell just happened? Anything
that
sticks out?
It's three or four of these stories every year. Don't you know right now, it's 50 dudes that think they're going first round. In some form of a fashion, they're picked in some rounds. I mean, in first round. All right, well, first of all, quarterbacks and offensive tackles always reshuffle the deck. If you thought you was going somewhere, those positions will move you up and move you down. Then we're going to have the three guys that slotted in nobody's first round that's going to enter the first round. It happens every year. Then you're going to have some people that just going to fall because of the draft is really nitpicking, trying to find reasons why not to draft you.
Big time, right? Yeah.
So Devontae Smith is going to fall because he's 166 pounds and he's a slim reaper.
By the way, so what? Right?
I told him, either you play football or you wasn't. I was part of the skinny team. Never miss games.
Jerry Rice, part of the skinny team.
And do I remember chasing DeSean Jackson, who I think had a hell of a career, part of the skinny team. So at the end of the day, you looking for football players or you looking for a bodybuilder? Because when it comes to playing football, show me what he do on the grass. Luckily, Philadelphia will be sitting right there, and they used to dealing with smaller receivers. They've had DeSean Jackson. They know raw out speed. All right, so he'll be a guy that drops. The epilepsy thing with Justin Fields, I think they'll try to use that against him. He might drop a couple spots. So, and it's going to be that guy that don't nobody know that's finna fall besides 32 GMs. It's 32 GMs know right now that, you know what, we're not taking no flyer on this guy in the first round, but he's slotted in everybody's first round. So you're going to have some surprises that happen all the time. Plus, you're going to have that team that make that, and it's usually Seattle, that draft the guy and everybody be like, who the hell did they just draft Willie Nelson from Tennessee State? All right. And so you're going to have that surprise pick. It happens all the time.
Willie Nelson could play and also play guitar as well.
And cool. He just had his birthday, 420.
Well, of course he did. Was he born on 420?
Fred, huh? Fred, wasn't it your birthday recently?
Well, 417, 3 days from 420.
Oh. How old are you now?
42 years young. Actually, I call it being 30 years old for the 12th time.
Are you a lady? What do you mean? That's what they do all the time.
Yeah, but okay. I still got baby skin here, you know?
You do got baby skin. Yeah. Actually, Cy looks older than us right now.
That's all the time. He can't help it.
I'm slowly dying right now, but most of the time, though.
But at least you're talking on a podcast. You got to ask yourself, how do you want to go? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Might as well do it, go and podcast.
Yeah, just stay alive until your wedding. by the way, you guys like saving money?
Trying to.
All the time.
That's why the heat's off and I'm wearing my hoodie.
His heat is off and he's wearing a hoodie. Well, have you thought about switching to solar, Cy? Answer is yes to both of those questions, then you'll want to hear what Smart Roof can offer you. Switching to solar with Smart Roof can save you 10 to 40% on your electricity bill and can save you money monthly right from day one. You want to see if you qualify for solar? Call 833-343-ROOF. That's 833-343-ROOF. Or visit our website, smartroofinc.com. That's smartroofinc.com. And use the promo code, check this out, boys, Chicken Smoot, to get a free energy savings report and solar design mock-up.
That's neat.
You ain't kidding. Just keeping the – so size cold.
I don't know.
Root's got his nice insulated house. I got two kids in here that are, you know, They're 22 and 19, and one complains how cold and hot it is in this in a matter of 30 minutes, how cold it is and then how hot it is. Same person.
I have to say, I have a son that refused to continuously put sheets on his bed because he say he can't stop sweat.
Now, are you a sheet? I'm a sheet guy. I'm not a, what's the cover?
The comforter, second sheet blanket? Guy, comforter.
Yeah, the comforter. I'm a sheet guy. I'm not a comforter guy.
Oh, no. See, I need a comforter. I'm sorry, man. At the end of the day, if you don't have a comforter, what's the difference of you sleeping on a cot outside in your bed? Oh,
because the comforter just, it's so thick. And all of a sudden, I know some folks enjoy the feeling of feeling like they're back in the womb, right?
Yeah. It's just warm.
You feel tucked in. Like, I'd rather, in the summer, I'd rather run air conditioner and have a comforter on.
That's ridiculous.
What a waste of time.
No, you want to make it cold so you can not sweat in your sleep, old man.
Yep.
I don't sweat. I got the sheet and I'm fine. And if I do get hot, then one leg comes out on the edge of the bed. And that cools me down.
They probably look like a jar of pickled pig feet in a gas station. you just painted a picture in my head that I cannot get out.
Why would you want to get it out?
Hanging out the sheet. Why would you put that in me inside head?
I didn't say I was sleeping nude. I just said I got one leg out the bed. That's all. I got, I'm in the underwear. But I'm all right.
Oh, my God. I'm about to throw up in my mouth.
Well, that happens. You know what? You and my wife have something in common now. Anyway.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. You know, sleep is, and I am a 6.2 sleeper. I sleep.
Wait, so what do you do in the winter when it's really cold?
If it's really cold, now don't forget the house is still the same damn temperature inside if you set your thermostat correctly.
Yeah, but so you don't want to get it too hot in the house.
No, I agree with you. We're at 68, sometimes 69 during winter time. And if it's
69, a good year.
Is that a great year? I was about to ask if that was a great year or not.
There it is.
Yeah.
Ten times better than 79. That's when I was born. But wow. I keep it around 70. But the thing is, heat rises. The one thing I always have is an oscillating fan that blows across me, because what most people don't understand, ceiling fans are bad for your health. Ceiling fans will always keep you with a stuffy nose. It'll dry out your spinal cord socket. It's the cyclone effect of how you spin in the wind. And it's very...
They collect a lot of dust, too. A lot of dust up there.
Yeah, it collects dust, and it literally, your body is made for wind to blow across it, not down on it.
Did you say your spinal cord?
Yes, like literally, when I first started playing football, I was telling them that, hey, for some reason, when I wake up, my neck is stiff all the time. So he asked me, how do I sleep, this and that? He was like, do you got a ceiling fan? I was like, yeah, and it's always on. He was like, take the ceiling fan out. Get you a stand fan that blows across you, and instantly I started feeling better. Instantly.
The stiff neck wasn't from, tackling 245 people?
No, all I was saying was that cyclone effect was actually contributing to something that was not even an injury.
I got you. That makes sense. I mean, it does make sense. We have a fan on because my wife does. She gets really, really hot, but it's barely going, and I'm not, this is going to sound funny. I'm not stiff when I wake up. That's a whole different
of course you're not, but how did you stay married so long?
Well, there's pills for that.
Well, we need to be doing commercial for
that
Blue
could be our next sponsor.
Really? Really?
If you're feeling like chick and waking up in the morning, you're not feeling inspired, reach over there and grab one of those Blue Chews.
You need help. You need a lot of help. My gosh. Waiting on Dave Johnson from the Wizards broadcast team. They've been very good lately. NFL-wise, ain't much else going on. We just keep teams ramping up for the draft. I can't wait for the draft because I want to see who F's up. Somebody, normally it's the Jets, somebody is going to go make a pick. And this is what's the bad part about there's no pandemic or the pandemic, and that you can't have all those people packed into an arena. Because as soon as that team makes that pick and they take a wide shot of those fans there, and normally it's the Jets, sometimes the Browns, and you get this look on their faces, and they are beyond pissed off. And they're like, who in the hell or what are we doing? I can't wait to see who that team is this year.
All right. Well, check this out. Here goes the numbers. 50 to 55% of all first rounders will be bust. I'm sorry. All 32 first round picks will not be good talent. That's just the way it comes out. So now you got the numbers working against you. So that's telling you now 50% of the team they're picking the first round are going to pick the wrong player. And then in turn, they're going to pick better players in the second, third, and fourth. Because the first round is they're trying to find every reason why not to draft you. All right. Now they will take their chance on you in the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth. They go to think now they're going for best player available. So a lot of these teams is going to try to outthink the room, and the player is going to be sitting right there in their face, and they're going to pick somebody else because of some small thing they don't like Devontae Smith, that he's too small.
Right.
Tutu Atwell, 155, 60 pounds, too small. Well, guess what? I've seen the Rock Cotwrights of the world. I've seen guys come in here and abnormal and end up staying and playing a decade of football, and that's what it's about. So we're going to watch everybody outthink themselves this week.
Yeah, they do. And, it, you know, there's literally millions of dollars riding on this decision, and it's about the future of your franchise. If you make the wrong pick, and you have how many cooks in the kitchen, by the way, when it comes to that pick. All right, looks like our man Dave Johnson is about to enter the realm. Let's invite Dave Johnson, DJ, in to the podcast. And as he takes a look and finds out that we're sitting here, and there's no chance, by the way, for those who are listening, we also do this via Zoom. And so you can't even see Fred Smoot's face right now because he's got the blinds open, and it's like I'm taking a picture of a black man. You got to make sure that there's a front light.
It just looked like my silhouette. All right, I'm finna change that, chick.
No, come fine. On, it's fine.
No, I'm change. Fine. Keep going.
So Smoot's going to get a light for himself. I think so. DJ can actually see who he's talking to because it looks like Sean Springs, not Fred Smoot. Dave Johnson now joins us. From the Wizards broadcast, the Wizards Broadcast Network. It's got the radio party there with Glenn Consor, his good friend, our good friend. DJ, how you doing, man?
You know, doing well. I mean, we're talking about a team that I don't think anybody wants to, if they get in the playoffs, and they have a real chance to get in the playoffs. And I appreciate you having me on your party. And I'm honored that Fred Smoot's even turning on his lights now, because I thought this was like some mystery guest. I thought, I'm getting set up for an ambush here. They're going to surprise me with maybe an ex-girlfriend or something. I'm just glad the light's on and we're in good stead.
Dave, I'm just here to report to you right now that I bumped into your 27-year-old son that you have never met in a grocery store the other day. And I told him I was going to be talking to you today. Yeah. He wanted me to let you know I need to hook y'all up.
This is Media 2021. This is how you find out these things on podcasts. This is like when it was like Marty Povich used to do that show. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
Wait, your son's 27?
No, come on, chick, get the joke, man. Told him I bumped into a 27-year-old love child. It happened years ago.
He was playing along with my weak humor. I appreciate that.
No, that's good. It's all good. The radio party is something to behold for those who have not partaken in listening to a Wizards broadcast. And you guys, you and Glenn, have turned it into something that is – people use the word special. I'm going to use it now because it's just different. It's a kind of a destination where you got to make sure, because I'm going to be honest here on this podcast, watching the TV version, whatever. But radio wise, you guys have a lot of fun. You're mentioning people, you're shouting out to folks. And what a time to be doing this after a bizarre start to this season and the trade and everything else. And now here we go. I mean, you must be having a lot of fun.
No, it is a lot of fun. And again, on the radio party, part of the thing, and that was not a phrase we coined, it was something that listeners gave us years ago, but we do have the technology, whether it's phones or whatever, where there shouldn't be a curtain between people that are broadcasting and talking and the listener. Make them part of the experience, because we have the ability to let them be heard. And listen, that everyone wants to be heard, to express their opinion, and that's the beauty of radio, that you have the ability you have a blank canvas and you can kind of make it up as you go along. It's not as structured as television. And believe me, there's many nights we do make it up as we go along, depending on the game. But always you respect the game. That's the important thing. While we have some fun and interact with listeners, the game is certainly the thing. And right now, you know, with the Wizards, we need to respect that you have a Bradley Beal who has a chance to be the first player in franchise history to lead the NBA in scoring. And he's not trying to lead the NBA score. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to play. And again, this is why he should have been an All-Star last year when people said, well, he's not on a winning team. Well, that means he's being double and triple team, and he's still putting up career numbers in points and assists. And Russell Westbrook, we really, guys, need to wrap our heads around this. He has normalized triple doubles.
Right.
Yeah.
It is not normal. We're talking about he is about to break a record, and he's probably going to do it this year, that Oscar Robertson set.
Wow.
It is so old, we don't even have video of some of his games because this is, you know, back in the – now everything's videoed. This is probably going to end up on YouTube later tonight. I don't know. But and somebody's going to wonder about my 27-year-old son in the grocery store. But the bottom line is Russell Westbrook is – so we have a special situation brewing here. It's not a complete picture because you have a young team, so it's not a team that's built to win a championship this season. But there is something special going on with this team.
And when I look at this team, I'm one of these people, I know how I feel to get traded. I know how I feel to go into another locker room. And the one thing that people don't get is they're never patient. They think just because you put an all-star with another all-star, they're supposed to win right off the bat. And sometimes that just ain't the way it go. When you look at this team and look at Russell's transition and Beal's transition to them working together and this team starting to really get their groove and actually starting to play some good defense, do you think that's all because they've actually got time to play together and they just wasn't going to start out fast just because of the trade?
Well, and no, I think you hit the nail on the head. First of all, the point you said about defense, this is a team that's not making its three-point shots. It's not making its free throws. So how's its winning game? It's defense right now. And that's the narrative that we didn't expect to be a part of the season. And the acquisition of a guy like Daniel Gafford, a reserve center, is made a difference on defense. But yeah, Russell Westbrook comes into the season and he's not an excuse guy. He just goes out and wants to win, but he's not fully healthy at the start of the season. This is a season, obviously, like no other. You get going, you beat the Phoenix Suns, you think, aha, now we've turned the corner. Then you get shut down for COVID for 2 weeks. And it's a different kind of shutdown because that means you can't practice for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's not just no games for 2 weeks. It's a shutdown. And I'm not bringing that up as an excuse. If you look at any team that had to deal with, in any sport, the NFL, whatever, they don't come out of a COVID shutdown in a good place. So what you're seeing is, you know, this team is not fully healthy. It was missing Rui Hachimura last night. Denny Avdia is now out with an ankle injury. So it's still, and Thomas Bryant was supposed to be, you know, a big part of a big year for him, a big part of the equation. But having said that, this is Bradley Beal didn't make excuses, you know, last season with John Wall and that type of thing. And I think you do need to appreciate, you do have a player in Bradley Beal who is coveted by so many NBA teams, and he could play the old pick and choose game. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be part of the solution. And no, to Fred's point, it's not going to happen overnight. And we're not going to go on a 3-game winning streak or win a bunch of games before the All-Star break and say, well, yeah, we've got it figured out and it's solved. And yes, there's going to be a lot of noise. I mean, I think people wanted to fire me. There's the fire the coach, you know, a mantra and et cetera. And as you appreciate it, as being in that situation where you just have to keep showing up for work every day, you can't worry about what people are saying, what Stephen Smith is saying, for goodness sakes, about Russell Westbrook's triple-double. And I don't want to debate that. I'm just pointing out you're hearing all this kind of noise coming at you. And all you do is keep showing up and hoping for a better day. And I think there's so much to appreciate about these athletes, these elite athletes, the future Hall of Famers, potentially, certainly Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal is starting to craft a career in that direction. And it also speaks to, and Chick and Fred and everyone can understand, how does it feel when somebody believes in you?
Yeah.
When Russell Westbrook was drafted, people said, it might be a combo guard. Might be a combo guard. Might be a good sixth man of the year candidate. Mm-hmm. This is what they said about Russell Westbrook. There was a guy who was an assistant coach of the Sonics/Thunder, because actually he was technically drafted by the Sonics and they moved to Oklahoma City. There's a guy named Scott Brooks that believed in him from the start. So if people don't think there's a special relationship between those two, you need to know there is a special relationship. And how did he grow in Oklahoma City with Scott Brooks as a head coach? And you talked to Russell Westbrook because he knew Brooks believed in him. Mm-hmm. He was going to make mistakes and know, you know, I'm still going to get another chance. Right. And then what do you see happen? A guy who gets triple-doubles sometimes certainly by the third quarter. He had one this year. He almost had it by halftime. And the only way I think he didn't get it was the stat person kept taking away assists from him. It was nothing he was doing. It was all of a sudden we'd come back from a commercial break and think, well, wait a minute. He just had 9 assists. Now he's got 8 assists. So, you know, it's a special story. And I think this will be a playoff team barring any crazy U-turns. And that obviously means health or otherwise. But I mean, when you have Magic Johnson's not Dave Johnson, who cares what Dave Johnson says? Magic Johnson said it before the season, you put a backcourt with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, look out. And I think we're seeing that right now.
Yeah. No, I don't know how we're seeing it right now. I like you said, the growth of it is special. Now, let's be honest. I'm an honest broker. You know what? I played on teams in Washington. I was like, you know what? We ain't got a chance to go to the playoff. I knew it because it just the leadership wasn't there. And you knew if you got there, you know it's only so far you was going to go. Now, we know it's a threshold. It's a ceiling for this exact team. But you got 2 cornerstones and 2 stars. That means we really 1 star away from being a contender for a championship. Are we a Andre Drummond away? Are we a Aaron Gordon away? Are we a, you know, not a super superstar, a mid-level superstar away from being a contender in the East for a championship? And if so, what would be your magic piece to add to these two?
Well, you know, I think that's a tough question, but I think we are that close. We're not, you know, is the combination right for this season? I think there's we've seen it when this team gets matched up against teams that are physical. We saw it coming right out of the All-Star break. They lose the Memphis Grizzlies coming out of the All-Star break and lose, you know, 8 of 9 games or whatever the heck it was. And against teams like, Philadelphia, who gives them a problem. So yeah, it's not, I'm not here to say this is a championship ready team. It's not, but is it when you started a conversation with Westbrook and Beal, you've got mm-hmm. something real serious there. Again, mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook, Hall of Famer, and he's still playing he's 6'4", he's not 6'9", and he's pulling down 20 rebounds. The triple-double he pulled off against the Golden State Warriors the other night, the first time that kind of triple-double had been done since Wes Unseld had done it, and Wes Unseld is 6'8", so there's a big difference there. And oh, by the way, again, part of it, Steph Curry had an off night. I mean, Curry's a good player. There's no, but part of the reason he had that off night was Russell Westbrook on defense made him work. And, you know, you have the combination. If you know, you're going to make it hard on him, he's not going to get the 40-point night. Now, it sounds like I'm evading the question. I think this team, if you have a Davis Bertans doing what he's doing, you have a healthy Thomas Bryant back, you have a Rui Hachimura who you know, was showing signs of becoming that third option, you have a lot of young pieces. So that's a way of answering that, you know, it's not as simple as just, you know, grabbing, you know, a big name player, because you're going to have to give up somebody to give a big name player. So this is who they're constructed as. This team is going to have to get better, but yeah. Can you add a piece that can add some defensive toughness, a bit of a dog, if you will?
Yeah, Montez Harrell, John Collins, somebody right there.
You know, so there's that kind of piece out there. But Daniel Gafford is 22, and it's not an accident they're 8-1 with him in the lineup because he just comes in there and he defends, he rebounds, he's shown he's got athleticism that he knows how to use. Everyone's athletic in professional sports or in the NBA. Mm-hmm. He knows how to use that athleticism, and as Scott Brooks says, you know, bad pass, good pass, doesn't matter. Just throw it up and he'll get it and he'll score it. So the basic answer is they have the pieces to, they keep, I keep using, hearing the word, Scott Brooks used the word program that they're building with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. No, it's not ready to contend for a championship this year. No, but is this team that you know, now as I look at the landscape and the way they're playing, this definitely can be a playoff team this year. And there's something going on here because Russell Westbrook's not done and Bradley Beal's in the prime of his career. And that's something to build around.
All right. So you've been doing this for how many years calling the Wizards?
24, 25, something like that. Yeah.
Jesus of Nazareth, Dave. All right. So 24 years, almost a quarter century. The news comes out that the Wizards have made a trade and they're sending John Wall, who is a cornerstone of this franchise, to mm-hmm. Houston, and they're bringing in Russell Westbrook. You hear the news, you see it. What is your first reaction?
Well, you know, it was, look, John Wall, and in 2017, when Wall was healthy and we're about to go to the Eastern Conference Final, and look, he delivered so much, but I'm also been around, and this is true with all sports, you have an injury and you're only having success if you're on the court, and we couldn't keep him on the court. That's right. Through no fault of his own. I'm sad that it looks like that, you know what, we're not going to get him back on the court. And even look, he was coming back from an injury. There were a lot of questions about how he would come back from the injury. And again, no mm-hmm. criticism of him. It's just the nature of the injury. But when I hear the name we're getting, again, he's averaged a triple double. He's doing, he's normalized. He's got 27 triple doubles. He got Darryl Walker had the franchise record for triple doubles, which was 16 wow. for a career. Wow. Russell Westbrook did that this season. And as I've done research, we played different teams. You guys have heard of Pete Maravich, right? Pretty good player.
Oh, yeah, the Pistons.
All right, I look up the Jazz. He played for the Jazz. Career triple doubles for Pete Maravich. Career with the Jazz, 7.
Wow.
Russell Westbrook has 27. You've got Oscar mm-hmm. Robertson and right behind Russell Westbrook. And then after that, I don't even know where to look because it was a record that nobody was supposed to threaten. And he is normalizing it by sheer desire, want to, and will. And he's old school. He doesn't want to hug players at games and this. He just wants to go out and beat you. And he's competitive every step. I haven't had a chance to see many practices, but I'm back in December. I remember as I'm watching behind the glass because we're all social distancing and whatever. It's the end of practice, have fun slam dunk competition. Russell Westbrook's still into that. He's coaching up Denny Avdia and saying, this is what he got to do to win the slam dunk competition.
Wow.
So, he will leave his career when he decides to leave, knowing that he gave every ounce and every minute. And he plays hard for every minute he's out there. It truly is something to appreciate.
This is what, Dave, I am your interpreter. Usually I have an interpreter because nobody understands me. This is what Dave Johnson really said. What he really wanted to say was this. Check it out. John Wall and Russell Westbrook are basically the same player on paper. Very athletic point guards that can get into the paint and can score, play with a lot of tenacity, and also play D. All right, but then when you keep going with the Russell Westbrook part, now you're talking about a guy that rebounds better than Wall, he assists better than Wall, he leads better than Wall. All right, so now you're getting a souped up version of what John Wall was supposed to be, and you're putting him in for you, like you said, he's not the guy that is really want to take 30 shots, so that's right. Fitting B away because he wants to get his triple double. You can only do that by passing the ball. So what we got is a John Wall on steroids that never missed games. And that's a great leader and a tone setter. So that's what you get when that's what I heard when I heard about the trade. I was like, all right, well, now we're finna get the same amount of points, more rebounds, more assists. That's probably gonna equal more wins. A better leader, somebody that's gonna really be edgy, and you need to be edgy. He's going to have an edge with him. And guess what? The team will start to take on that edge.
Yep.
And that's why they've been playing defense.
Well, and look, he's in, to your point about edge, he's in every timeout. And you hear players talk about it and say, well, I didn't want to miss that assignment because I didn't want to hear it from Russell. I didn't want to have Russell in my ear and in my face. And he will not do it in a way to embarrass another player. But, again, you get the sense, all right, I'm playing with Russell. I'm not going to take a minute off because he's not taking a minute off. And if I do – I'm going to hear about it. And I've heard so many players say, I'm going to catch that pass because Russell found me. And I'm going to make that cut because Russell is going to find me. And so he raises the level. And in some ways it reminds me of when we had Paul Pierce here in Washington, the same kind of player, the guy that shows up at the gym the first and sets the tone. And well, if Russell Westbrook, if Paul Pierce is showing up first, then I better show up first. And you know, I did something the other night. Bradley Beal's cut from the same cloth, and I'm not just, you know, this is not smoke and mirrors and PR. This is stuff I've witnessed. The other night, we beat the Wizards beat the New Orleans Hornets in overtime, but game's over. It's Friday night. Bradley Beal was 0 for 9 that night from 3-point distance. What is he doing after the game? We're doing our post game show from Capital One Arena, and he is on the court getting up shots. Because he's not happy. He was 0 for 9. He's, but he's not waiting until Saturday or the next scheduled practice. He's doing it Friday night. He's keeping the you know, guys that worked out with the player personnel around on a Friday night because he wants to figure out why the heck was I 0 for 9. So that's where you get caught up in this team because there's a desire that you feel. And you felt it last night because last night or against the Golden State Warriors – was a crazy game, but I thought, you know what? These guys are going to find a way to pull this out because you got big time closers and Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. And that's what happened in the fourth quarter when, you know, they went on a 25-10 run to close the game and Westbrook and Beal had 17 of those 25 points.
All right. Final moments here with Dave Johnson in his 24th season calling Wizards on the Wizards radio network. Dave has called, I believe, every sport known to man. Cy Fenwick, our producer, you're getting married. Dave could actually do play-by-play for your wedding if you'd like, or he could call play-by-play in Fred's bachelor party. That would be good, too.
I am ordained minister.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is I got to hire Fred now for the radio party because he's my interpreter. He's got to figure it out. I mean,
you should give me a segment where I say what Dave really means.
He just cuts the chase. I mean, that's the problem. And see, I get up and do morning radio, so I got up at 3 a.m. and we're talking at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
Eastern.
You're done.
So I'm going to dance around the park and tell you all kinds of stories and take about 30 minutes to do it. And Fred says, all right, let me just explain in 30 seconds what Dave just said in 30 minutes. I need him as an interpreter.
That's the headline today is Fred Smoot is Dave Johnson's translator, which is just scary to begin with. Both guys talk at a speed that is unknown to man. All right, last question, the getaway question. Doing the broadcast with Glenn Consor, another, I will call him respectfully, a knucklehead. How much fun is that? I know you're calling a game. But I can also hear in your voices when an inside joke is being told or when someone cracks the other one up. There is a lot of fun there.
Yeah, no, and look, and I jokingly say that that's why I'm talking so long tonight because I finally get to complete a sentence because Glenn is not next to be interrupting me. But the bottom line is Glenn played at a very – I don't think we appreciate enough. He played at Division I college basketball for Rick Pitino at Boston University. It was Rick Pitino's first job. And, you know, he ended up playing in Israel in European basketball. But, you know, if it was a 30-team NBA, maybe Glenn Consor gets a chance at the NBA. At the time, it was a 21-team NBA. So he still approaches each game like a player in terms of his preparation, the looking at the scout. I mean, he's more prepared probably than every coach and player out there because he's still the passion he has for the game. Is just unmatched. So it is a pleasure to work with him, but it's even more fun to bust his back every now and then too. So we do have some fun. We've been together for 10 years. It feels like 32, but we've had some fun.
Dave, I'm gonna let you out of there that quick. Listen, we're going through a name change with the Washington Football Team.
Oh, here we go.
I ain't gonna force you to change the Washington football name and make a pick right now, even though I'm the Red Wolf captain. I'm cheering for the Red Wolves. If you could change the Washington Wizards name, because we blew that one. That should be a story we learned from. They blew that name change years ago and they let the city choose it. We went from the Bullets to a Wizard. We went from very intimidating to Harry Potter. All right. So if I could change the name of the Washington Wizards, I would name them the Washington Cicadas.
What the hell is wrong with you?
That would be there for 7 years.
First off, Dave works for the organization. He ain't changing that name, but go ahead, Dave.
Well, no, the only thing I'll say is at the end of the day, and I think we can all appreciate this, is that and sometimes you go, it may be unpopular, but if you truly believe something, and the late team owner, Abe Pullen, a dear friend of his, I apologize, I wasn't prepared for this question, but was assassinated in Israel. And it was also at the time in this city that we were the murder capital of, in fact, when I would travel to Europe, people, and I would say I was from Washington, D.C., people would look at me like, are you okay? Right. Because their perception was, and Chick, you and I worked at Fox 5 back in the day. Used to be a show on every night at 11 o'clock called City Under Siege.
Absolutely.
So the early 90s was not a kind time. So, you know, I'm not trying to over be serious about it, but the team owner, Abe Poland, was serious about it. Sure. He didn't like the Bullets name anymore and what it was bringing up. And look, we were the butt of late night jokes, you know, whoever the comedian was. Oh, no wonder the basketball team's called the Bullets. It's the murder capital of the world. So the reasoning for changing the name was true. And yes, it's been unpopular in some quarters. Well, that's the name of the championship and we should have never changed it. But he was true to what he believed in. And at the end of the day, that's all any of us can do is be true to what we believe in.
Oh, no, I'm fine with why he changed it. I'm talking about we're a city. We are the first city in professional sports that's going to change not one team's name, but two major franchises. We are the first team. We're the first city ever. And we can say this as a group, even though I wasn't here. And when people hear me say Mississippi, they make that same face they used to make about D.C. They still make it to this day. All right. But and we get to pick a name again. And the cautionary tale is you can't just let anyone do it because I think it was a lot of names you could have picked other than the Wizards. I've been here for going on almost 19 years. I've walked every inch of DC, never bumped into Gandalf, never bumped into Harry Potter, never bumped into any of them. I don't even think they Washingtonians. I don't know what's going on. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know, man.
At the end of the day, as long as we play better defense and get further in the playoffs, I'm happy with whatever the name is at this point.
Yeah, I run into David Copperfield. I think there's a chance. All right, listen, Dave, really appreciate your time. I know that it's past your bedtime because you'll be up early for WTOP, but can't thank you enough. I hope and pray that you get a chance to call playoff basketball this year with Glenn Consor because it's one great listen, and we thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, again, when I hear Chicken Fred Smooter calling me, I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm sorry. You know, I can't go to church tonight. I can't do all these other things. I've got to get on this podcast. I'm not going to miss that. And again, it's the best job in the world. And it's we're talking sports and we're having fun. For the desire and commitment of these players and everything they've gone through, I really hope that we do have some playoff basketball and I don't think it's not a championship year. I'm not going to lie, and we don't feel it is. Mm-hmm. But there's a real story developing here and real progress developing, and that's, you know, they haven't given any of us a script, and that's what makes sports great. Let's just rely with it and see what happens.
Best Dave reality Johnson. Show of all time.
It is the longest
reality show of all time. It's sports.
Yeah, Dave this Johnson, is the second best reality show right here that you guys have. Sports is.
Especially for those who are like big Cy Fenwick fans who are looking at this guy. Those who are actually, well, nobody's going to see this, but they haven't heard from Cy. Cy just got a second vaccine shot, and he's hurting a little bit.
Yeah, he's feeling down. And it gave him Alzheimer's.
I thought he was your band leader. I was waiting for your band.
it's actually Doc Severinsen's son, which is impressive. Only some of us know what that means.
Well,
Dave Johnson,
I'm 27.
Thanks very much,
too,
man. Really appreciate it.
All the best, guys.
Thanks, Dave Johnson. Dave Johnson from WTOP Radio, the Wizards Radio Network as well. And if you get a chance, I mean, it is fun to listen to them. And if you know both of them, dude, it is spectacular. And I'm not going to mince words here. The TV broadcast it's milquetoast. It is, there's nothing, there's no juice behind it. But those two, Dave Johnson and Glenn Consor, if you're sitting in the car or somewhere or just shoot in your back porch, you turn that game on, you will find yourself laughing. And that's rare these days in radio, at least for me. It's rare to see two guys having a lot of fun like that.
I can tell you what, you might need to do a side job in preaching because you can sell water to a whale.
What are we talking about?
I'm just saying, you got me wanting to go listen to the show right now because you like should. I said, you can literally, you are a used car salesman. You can sell me a car without a motor on it with two horses in the front and tell me that it got all the horsepower in the world.
Let me say on Canon sunglasses, they are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, stronger, and Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. Italian handcrafted, just like most of your shoes, Fred.
That's a collab of Japanese and Italian.
Use the exclusive code KanonCast15 at Canon.com. That's K-A-E-N-O-N, by the way, to receive 50% off your 15% off your first pair. That's KanonCast15. Canon, clearly better. Dave Johnson was a lot of fun. I hope, I don't think it's in football. I don't think folks appreciated, at least the short time he was in Washington, Adrian Peterson, what he's done throughout his career. I don't think folks appreciated it as well as they should have. I don't think folks appreciated John Wall, what he was to the Wizards, right?
People quickly forget, like, being an athlete is a fulfilling job, but you have to be so mentally strong, because as quick as you are presented with all this attention, they are very quick to dismiss you, right? Mm-hmm. And all it takes is somebody to fill the void, fill the place.
Right.
It's kind of like the ex-husband, ex-wife syndrome. Like, they love you, they still miss you, but once somebody really step in and fill that gap, the good old times don't matter like they used to. And it happens with athletes all the time. They don't really give you your roses while you're playing, per se.
Right. That's the thing with injured players. Injured players, it's the moment they're injured and they go into that other category, what do they feel like? They feel left out. Some guys can't handle that.
Not part of the team. You do nothing with us. Right. You are rarely around us. Besides the first meeting of the day, we don't see you again. Right? Yeah. And you feel like you ain't going to war with your brother. It's like being an injured soldier. Right? And now you're just hanging around in the hospital the whole time while you know a war being fought outside of your window.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's different. And
wow, I got kind of deep right there.
You did.
Am
you
I
did.
Drinking wine or something?
You might be. Or a bottle, not just a glass. That's a good show. Good show tonight. We'll see what happens. We got the draft coming up. Next week, we'll figure out somebody that can come on and talk about what might happen.
I might have to call Mel Kiper.
Milk? You want to get milk? You want to get the hairpiece on?
Oh, I'm talking about my homeboy from Mississippi. His name, Mel Kiper Jenkins. He actually owned the farm off the 50 and 3rd.
What? Yeah, get him on. Why not? That'd be hysterical. Let's just get people who, with the same name as famous people.
I got my homeboy from Mississippi, Mel Kiper Jenkins. Right? He run a small farm, but he talked draft. And we can get Mel Kiper Jenkins on here if you really want to. I'm just telling you.
The end of the show, what's it sponsored by again?
Bet Online.
Oh, Bet Online. Bet Online sponsors That's Your Opinion podcast. Okay, good. Good to know. All right, fellas. I think we're done. What is Fred looking at right now? Folks are looking. You can't see.
Fred,
folks can't
Fred.
See this. No,
Fred's got a dancer in the house right now.
Well, I need to know, Fred.
Me and Paul Pierce kicking it tonight. You ain't know?
Fred, what did you do for your birthday?
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, you got a fifth.
Put it like this, Si. I'm lucky to be alive.
Well, we're fortunate that Fred made it to the podcast after having a birthday party.
That's why I told you I didn't know if I was going to be here this week. I always had to put that disclaimer in a week before time. And I also, give people that looking for me.
You're in a dangerous position every year that your birthday is the same week as 420. That's two dangerous days in one week for you every year.
It's been like that for life with me, It's been like that for life.
Hold on a second. Si, do you actually think that it matters how close his birthday is to 420 as to what that means for Fred
Smoot?
Yes,
that means like if you like used
two
to
big,
got a
two big days.
And as you used to Christmas, and you close to Christmas with a shopping addiction, you're going to go overboard.
Oh, okay. So you're going to go overboard because you're a 24/7 guy. So I'm not sure why. It's medicinal.
Well,
absolutely medicinal. Yeah. But I know you got the stuff.
Even the medicinal thing, you have to understand, even for 24/7 people, 420, you go above and beyond. Even if you're a 24/7 person, 420 is a day that you go above and beyond.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Like Valentine's Day. You love him 364 days, but Valentine's Day, you step it up.
Yep.
My son is still waiting for that gift that you have for me, Fred.
No problem. It will be on the way, brother. Okay. Now that I'm fully vaccinated, I can go around anybody.
That's trouble for a lot of people. All right, for the Amish one, Cy Fenwick, who's recovering from his second. Congratulations on your vaccine, by the way, Cy. You still have like at least 3 weeks before you're clear.
Yep.
And the translator, Fred Smoot. My name is Chick Hernandez, and this has been That's Your Opinion, brought to you by BetOnline.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.